Welcome, Bill Henry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Bill Henry Show. Boy, thank you for the response, Margaret. Great response to your singing, although I know there was that one lady, Ebony Jones, there on Facebook who said that she thought your singing was just rancid.
Well, you know something? I saw those comments, and Ebony, I'd like you to know, darling, you know, don't get between a dog and his meat, okay?
Whatever that means.
Let me tell you what it means there, Mr. Dickman. It means I'm a singer, and when Ebony tried to step between me and song by saying that I had a very... You know what? You're jealous.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
What else do I need?
Yeah, that lady had a point.
Oh, you know, you are really two-faced.
I have to agree with Margaret there, bud. What are you all of a sudden two-faced about? You were saying, oh, you know, her singing was good, and then, you know, and now all of a sudden you're siding with this lady?
Well, you can't say it was good.
I thought it was very good, Ms. Gray. I thought it very good.
Well, I appreciate the kudos, young man, but I know it was good. I know it was good because I'm a professional. Let's just pretend, as we usually do, that Bud isn't here, and I'm addressing the lady. I said what I wanted to say. On to the next piece of business, please.
All right, fine. That's as it should be. Anyway, welcome to the program. But we did get some good response, and we also would like to congratulate Rick Anderson, who won the shot glass. It was his suggestion of singing the sunshine, or whatever the hell that thing was. What was the name of that?
Whatever the hell that thing was.
That the name of it?
No, I'm repeating. Are you kidding?
Well, I don't know the name of it. What was it called?
We'll Sing in the Sunshine. Gail Garnett, or Gail Garnett. And she is a native of New Zealand. I believe she's still alive. She's 72. I saw a picture. Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Okay, but we got to move on.
Hold on. I saw a picture of her with a group called Something Rain, Golden Rain. Is he laughing at what I think he's laughing at?
You're laughing at Golden Rain, right?
Hey, man, don't do that. Don't do that.
Bud, you're going to get your ass kicked right out of the gate. Stop it. And don't be laughing like a little kid at Golden Rain.
Why are they going to call it Golden Rain?
Because they don't have garbage between their ears. They're thinking of something other than what you're thinking of. And yes, what I thought of very briefly, only because I have been very experimental in my life.
Okay, Margaret, that's fine. You don't have to make it worse. So the name of the group was what?
I'm not me.
So I'll take over. Gail Garnett.
Excuse me, I'll do it. Gail Garnett. And the group was called Golden Rain, and I won't even look at Bud Dickman. And she looked absolutely stunning in the miniskirt she was wearing.
So in other words, that whole thing about her having a big ass?
Well, it's what I assume because of the size of the dress. She wore one of those large ballooning dresses that you, well, not you, but that people wore in the 60s.
Maybe Mr. Henry did wear it.
That's right, Robert. I wore a big ballooning dress in the 60s.
God, Robert, you trying to get fired or something?
Well, I didn't mean it that way, sir. Never mind. I take it back.
Don't have to call me sir. It's okay. You're making a joke? You're making a joke, you know?
No, I don't know. I thought it like a hippie thing.
No hippie guy. Guys didn't... Hippies, let me tell you something about hippies. Hippies are the most sexist. They were the single most sexist group. Hippie men were total sexists.
What do you mean?
Well, Margaret, didn't you tell me that you had, you ran with a group of kids at Pennsylvania?
Well, yes, I did, but we were very, very progressive. Very progressive. And I would not allow... Let me tell you something, just so you... This is between you and me and the fence post, all right? I wouldn't... What are you looking at?
What does that mean about a fence post?
It's a saying, bud, okay? That's all I'm gonna... Just a saying.
Just between you and me and the fence post. Don't look at me like that.
Margaret, don't get distracted, okay?
What?
He's giving me the squint look like, huh?
Yeah, you don't know what fence post...
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
Would you tell them to quit squinting and looking at me like I'm retarded?
Would you?
I'm sorry, and looking at me like I am misshapen or...
Okay, would you guys quit staring at her?
What does she mean about fence post?
It doesn't concern you right now. Go ahead.
She looked fabulous, is what I was trying to say about Gail Garnett and the Golden Rain, and it was a folk group, and I'm sorry I brought it up.
All right, anyway, Will Singin' the Sunshine was requested by Rick Anderson, and he wins a shot glass. We're going to find out tonight, and we will find out, don't worry, who was that? Because I didn't have time to look at it last night. Who suggested, what was the other one?
This Magic Moment, beautiful song by Jay and the Americans, or Jay and the Americans, or Jay and the Americans.
Can we maybe dispense with all of that, you know?
Dispense with what?
All of that, the French pronunciation is driving me nuts. Now, I want to get to the first story here of the night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. First of all, we're going to have Jack I. Gagner on with us tonight. No comments, please. Let me just get this tease out before we get into a discussion.
Fine.
Jack I. Gagner, who is the play-by-play man of the Milwaukee Lions. As you know, the Lions games are carried on Phil TV. The audio, WANG, Wang Radio Audio, is carried on Phil TV. They had a game in Tucson Tuesday night, last night, because the Hillbilly Football Conference plays on Monday nights. They moved it to Tuesday because of the storm and because of problems they were having. But then, of course, it falls on election night. It might have held down the radio listening. It didn't hold down, I don't think, the crowds. What was the...
I think they're playing a Tucson Tequila.
Yeah.
Well, they get a good crowd on account of they're good.
Okay, well, the Tucson Tequila, they were playing there in Tucson. And in any event, something happened during the broadcast, and it didn't really happen during the broadcast. This was a commercial that was cut and inserted into the broadcast that apparently had gotten by censors or any of the program directors, and it was Jack in this commercial session with Tutch Gerber and his mother, Edna Gerber.
Now, I know Edna Gerber, and I know what happened, all right? So you've already got me ready to go out and commit murder, you see?
I don't have you doing that.
No, you're right. But the fact that you're going to have this man... I know Edna Gerber. I know what a wonderful woman she is.
All right, well, hold on. Ms. Gerber is a part owner with the Milwaukee Lions. Her son, Tutch, which I believe is... Yeah, obviously it's a nickname.
What's his real name?
I don't know. Stan or something like that.
Stan? Man, no wonder they call him Tutch.
You gotta be Tutch. Don't I have a name like Stan?
Well, unfortunately, whoever gave him the name Stan was the one that was touched, but he's the guy that got the nickname. In any event, during a commercial session for, I don't know what it was, but it made it onto the air, Jack assaulted both Ms. Gerber and Tutch Gerber and has been suspended by the Milwaukee Lions. So he was not on Lions Line tonight. It was hosted by Larry McKinney, who's the color commentator for the National Hillbilly Games, and... that download will be available tomorrow. The live Lions-Lion game did, Lions-Lion radio show did air. We're going to have Jack on, okay?
Well, I don't know what he's going to say to defend himself. I heard the tape of what happened.
Yes, and by the way, folks, we will play the tape for you tonight as to what happened. We've had to bleep it extensively. It was quite devastating.
Now, listen to that, I can't believe it. And all I got to say is that Tutch Gerber, man, that kid, he'd ask him for it.
No young man asks for that.
No, I agree with Margaret. I agree with Margaret. And I have to say, it was an extreme and unbelievable assault, and Jack needs help, okay? Because I don't know, I don't care what happens in life, I don't care how angry people get you, what he did during the broadcast of that football game, what he did in that commercial session that eventually made it into the broadcast. I'm going to have to ask Jack. I don't know. But that's what I heard Larry McKinney say on the show.
What did he say? He said it was a tape record?
He didn't. Earl Cooch did, the producer.
Earl Cooch, Earl Cooch has hit on me repeatedly for the last 10 years. He can't say no for an answer. He can't take no for an answer. He puts his greasy hands on me, and I'll tell you, the next time he does that, I'll be damned if some... slime like Earl Cooch is going to put his greasy paws on me. I'd rather take that watch and put it right up, you know.
So what are we doing here? Pulp, what is this, Pulp Fiction?
What?
No greasy so-and-so is going to put his hands...
I didn't know I was quoting Pulp Fiction.
Well, what's the watch got to do with it?
Yeah, that's right, on Pulp Fiction, on account of going to put it right up his butt.
You know, I... You
going to go to the toilet?
Yes, I'm going to the toilet, all right? Everyone, I'm going to the toilet.
Good, fine, great. She's going to the toilet. Another big announcement.
Well, it's the only refuge I have.
Margaret, you're just going to have to tough it out sometimes. We're going to be right back, folks. Jack I. Gagner joining us with all of the details on what happened between himself, Tutch Gerber, Edna Gerber, during the Milwaukee Lion broadcast or in that commercial session or whatever. We will play for you the recording of that incident next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're very happy to have online with us here Jack I. Gagner, play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. And I don't mean to be a smartass here, Jack, but I should say for how much longer, we don't know.
You know, stuff, Phil, if I were you, I wouldn't worry about that because I can safely make this prediction. There's no way that the Milwaukee Lions are going to sever their relationship with me because if they do that, they are just another nothing football team on the landscape of the football, the different football leagues, you know.
All right, and that's spoken very honestly.
I got to speak honestly. I've been a play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions now for a long time. You know, Brett and I started working together. Brett Morrison, you know, he started working together in the late 70s when Steve Packer was the coach and when the team was, you know, the team was challenging for AFL 2 championships. They made it to the championship game one year. And those were some pretty heady times. And, of course, we had a great time. But the more important thing is that that Brett and I, you know, we saw this team through some pretty bad times, too. And this ownership group of the current Milwaukee Lions doesn't get it. They don't get it.
Well, what don't they get?
They don't get the passion that the fans have for this team. I have been very unhappy with the moves they've made in terms of personnel. When you take a look at Miami, they just got Kevin Dinkerink as a quarterback, as the number one rated free agent going into the seventh week of the season. You can't sign anymore. No more trades, no more free agent signings. And we picked up an offensive lineman. I think Solander Gomez is great. But the real money players was Dinkerink is one of them. A couple other quarterbacks were taken, a couple other running backs, and we didn't make the move. We didn't pull the trigger on that.
All right, but Jack, I got to get to what happened in the game.
Well, all of this is part and parcel of that.
No, I understand that, but this was something that happened in the ball game. Now, the first thing I have to ask you, when did this happen?
That's the other thing. Larry McKinney Larry's a nice guy. He's about as stupid a guy as has ever been allowed to work a professional football game. And to listen to Larry tell it, he was the greatest quarterback that ever played for Milwaukee. Larry McKinney is an imbecile.
Well, Larry, okay, so we've established that. Larry McKinney's the guy that said this happened in a recording session.
What sense does it make for that to... Now, first of all, Larry didn't say that. Earl Coote said that. And,
well, all right, so you should be blaming Earl.
No, I don't blame Earl because Earl is just a producer. Larry ought to know. Earl thought it was in a commercial session. It wasn't in a commercial session. This is something Larry should have picked up on. That happened during the game. That happened during the game.
What? Why did that kid, why was he on mic? Okay.
That was a piece of music that was going to be used for a live read for Indian gaming casino. Out, I forget where, Whitefish Bay or somewhere outside of Milwaukee, okay? I was going to do 360-second spots and was going to be in the Milwaukee Lions football game. Now the music plays. Now all of a sudden, this kid is at the microphone.
Where were you?
I was reaching back. I'd actually gotten up and gone back to a bag that I had that had some water in it. Because I asked Susie Bernus, who is the production assistant, I said, Susie, is there any water? And she went, I didn't see where she was, so I just got up to go get some water. And you know Susie, we call her Flimsy, you know, it's a nickname for her.
Flimsy Bernus, yeah.
All right, so now this kid, as the music fires, the kid's there, and he's making these comments. And I got to tell you, Phil, at that point, I did what I felt was the right thing to do. I was going to squeeze. I wasn't going to kill him. I was trying to just squeeze the air out of him so it would knock him unconscious and he would drop to the floor. Now, you know, you can think what you want, Dan.
All right, let's listen to it because we have it.
Now, I know you got it, but I want to give you some of the, what do you call, the context.
All right. Here's Jack I. Gagner. This is, Jack, I'm going to put you on hold here. I know you can hear it on hold. Have you got that, bud?
Yeah, got Jack I. Gagner squeezing it.
What do you mean squeezing it?
We're talking about squeeze touch.
Yes, this is Jack I. Gagner as he encountered Touch Gerber at the beginning of this commercial break, and here's how the whole thing, it's the funny thing about it, is the whole thing is 56 seconds. It's almost like it was meant to be. So here is Jack I. Gagner and the incident in the booth.
You hear this? This
is going. All right, let's start this all over again because I think you got the EQ wrong on that, bud.
Oh, yeah. I rolled off all the high end.
Yes. Go ahead and hit it again.
You hear this? This is called a flute. I bet you Jack I. Gagner plays this. My name's Tucker. Or, I mean, not, no, what's my name? Oh, yeah, it's Touch Gerber. And it's...
Die, you little bastard. Die.
Unhand my son. Unhand him.
Get out of here.
Unhand him.
Just because I've seen you playing flute.
That's exactly right.
Well, you said that I had a hand in my mouth.
Well, watch this. What?
What are you doing?
Ooh, ooh. Take your out of my voice.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
I said to take your... What are you doing? What?
Yeah. 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 Oh, we're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so there is the... Turn that fan off, if you wouldn't mind there, bud, so we can get Jack back on the air. So you just heard what transpired there. I got to tell you something, Jack. Listening to that, it almost sounds like it was a joke.
It was shocking to know that we was on the air, so I think both myself and Ed tried to straighten our clothing.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Was that an actual... Was that non-consensual?
Well, this is the other thing that the Lions don't understand. First of all, the quick answer?
Give me the answer.
Yes, it was consensual.
What is that about, man?
Well, hold on. Whoa there, sunshine. Hold on for just a minute, okay? Yes, it was consensual. Yes, it was freaky. Yes, it was something that no one's going to understand. But it happened. That the mic was on, that we just fell into it, that, of course, is something that should not have happened because we had a commercial to do. But when the three of us got into the confines of that booth, I was angry. It suddenly was very exciting. I don't want to go into it. My wife, Patsy, I love her very much. She knows that I'm kind of a unique guy. Edna Gerber is going to straighten this out with the Milwaukee Lions. That's why I said to you that there's no way the Lions fire me.
Okay, so why were you suspended?
I was suspended because the outrage that had come out over the outrage that had come out after was so heavy and strong that the Lions thought the best thing was for me to go off the air. Now, when I heard Larry McKinney doing a show, I got upset.
Yeah, I know you did. I heard you giving him a hard time.
You better believe it, because there's not on this planet, not on any planet in our solar system, and not in this life, but maybe 6-7 lives down the pike, if you believe in the Buddhist version of reincarnation, that then maybe Larry McKinney qualifies to sit in my chair and do my show. And that's what pissed me off more than anything else. Not Touch Gerber. He's a punk. That guy, you know, I could drop him out of an airplane over Lake Michigan, and he wouldn't be missed for years. Edna, she's a lot of fun. She's a nice rolling... Well, I better not say it.
Rolling the hay?
All right, let the record show you said that.
You are a married guy, man.
Yes, I am a married guy, and my wife loves me very much. But, well, you know something, Phil? Don't get into things you don't understand.
All right, well, maybe I don't understand it, but what you're telling me here is this was a sex act that took place voluntarily between three people, Edna Gerber and her son, and you.
Yes, that's right. And I would hasten to add Don't judge what you don't understand. I don't like hearing that music in my ear. It makes me sound like I'm going to get cut off.
You are.
Well, that's no fair.
All right, hang on. We'll get more from Jack I. Gagner when we come back. And we'll probably have Touch Gerber weighing in. Dr. Jim Sadler, of course, on the psychological implications of this and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So Larry McKinney is about as stupid a bastard as... Are we on the air?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Great.
Phil Hendry.
Saved by the bell again, Larry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jack I. Gagner is needed elsewhere, we are told, and it's probably a better thing because Margaret Gray has rejoined us here, and I know that you didn't want to have too much to say to him.
Well, I had no problem saying anything to him, but you seem to think it was wise that I didn't.
Okay, yes, I do, because I don't need a second-level argument going on. Jack's dealing with something that's already very bizarre, very weird. And let me put it this way, you know, good luck to him.
Well, I will agree with one thing. Jack I. Gagner has inserted himself, if you'll pardon the expression, because I know that were Jack here, he would take the opportunity to magnify the comment, insert himself, to expand on it, if you'll pardon that expression, to make it bigger than it should be, if you'll pardon even that expression. And I'm listening to that. I don't know. Why do you have that slot on?
Excuse me, Margaret. You know, it's Dean Wheeler who's going to talk about the presidential election.
Why is she singing?
Get yours on her singing.
Okay, just hold on. Dean Wheeler joining us. Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I feel just doing fantastically, and we're celebrating President Obama's victory here. I don't mean to rub it in to your many conservative listeners, which is what talk radio really is all about. I have to tell you, Phil, since the victory by President Obama, I have encountered the most sour, resentful, immature people that I've ever encountered in my life, and they're all Republicans. They cannot be good Americans. I think it proves that Republicans are really not at the very heart and soul good Americans when they cannot stand up like men and women and accept the fact that they lost an election. I heard Karl Rove, and, you know, you'll notice, can I just point something out here, Phil? Phil, can I point something out?
Go ahead, yeah.
You'll notice I'm ignoring the horn player. I'm ignoring everything that's going on tonight with Emeralda and her band because I will not let anything ruin a beautiful night tonight, which is the victory of Barack Obama.
Let me get back to this comment you made about you've encountered the most immature people.
Absolutely, Phil.
You're talking about Republicans.
Oh, the Republicans that I have talked to since since President Obama clinched the presidency of the United, you know, of all of America, the United States, and the territories, and that was another question we had. I just think I'm trying to keep myself thinking and I'm trying to keep my mind active so I don't pay any attention at all to what Emerald is doing on the stage and that horn player who, if I got to look at him one more night. Please, God, save me from a homicide charge. Save me from a homicide charge.
All right, hold on, man. Why don't you get out of that room if it's that serious?
It's not serious. I don't like the way he's looking at her. A-S-S, okay?
And have you said anything to him?
Yes, I said to him, yes, I did. But I guess you probably don't think it would be enough.
What did you say?
I said to, she's just coming off the bandstand now, Phil. Nice going, baby. Hey, Emeralda, I'm over here. Hey, look at that. She's ignoring me. She's getting the plaudits of the crowd. How do you like this? Are you going to do another number, honey? Honey? I went over to him and I said, my wife's got a nice ass, doesn't she? And he said, well, as long as you brought it up, yes, she does. So I thought that was rude. And
well, wait a minute, man. You walked the guy right into that.
Yes, I know that, but any guy with any class would have said, well, Mr. Wheeler, I don't really want to comment. She's your ass. I mean, that's your ass, not your ass. That's her ass that belongs to you. Well,
That's not a very progressive comment to make.
Now hold on, hold on just a second there, Phil. Don't get too ahead of yourself. I said that she's whispering. Hold on.
I'm going to hang up, Dean.
Hold, just in the name of God, Phil, hold on. I'm trying to hold a marriage together. Yeah, she's whispering. You know who told her to whisper?
Let me guess, the horn player?
How'd you know that?
Well, I don't know. Just a wild guess.
Yeah. Hey, Bergie? Bergie, Mr. Hendry on the radio, he knows even that you're the one that got her to do the whisper. Yeah. Yeah, how'd you like to wake up some morning and find a big wad of American cheese in that horn? You don't think so? I'm what?
Will you get back on the phone here, please?
Sorry, I'm sorry, Phil. So anyway, the most immature people that... Oh, wait. What is this? I got a small hair in my mouth. What is that about? Wow. Boy, I must have had a good afternoon. I can't even...
Okay, that's fine, man. I mean, what are you talking about?
I apologize, Phil. That was wrong. Oh, wait, I've got a goatee. Okay. Phil...
What is wrong with you tonight, man? You were very distracted.
I'm distracted by a great victory by President Obama, and I found a small hair in my mouth, and I thought for a moment that I'd had a great afternoon, and no, I hadn't. I have a goatee. It was from my mustache, okay? All right? Is it all right for a man for just 2 seconds, maybe even a half a second, to feel like maybe he had a good day, only to find out, no, I didn't, and I got a horn player, that I'm going to have to do something with that horn. If I don't do something to him, I got to do something to either one. And the fact...
Okay, you know something? I'm not talking to him.
Well, Phil, I wanted to hear more about President Obama.
Well, you weren't going to hear it from him. You weren't going to hear anything from him. That guy is going on and on and on and on about the horn player and about his wife's ass.
That, you know something? I really am disappointed that you treat women like a piece of meat.
I didn't say that. He did.
Dean Wheeler is a progressive Democrat. Now, you know that, Phil. Why do you attribute to him...
Look, Margaret, he's the guy that said he's got an issue with a horn player who's looking at his... I can't believe it.
You know something? This is why I know that at your heart and soul, you are a reactionary, a patriarchal, Stone Age man. You think it's real funny that Dean Wheeler is suffering so behind the actions of a woman who is ignorant of her own captivity. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you stunned, because hold on for just a minute.
That's the dumbest thing!
You better shut it up, bud, because last night was just a taste of what I can do.
You put your high heel into that kid's you-know-what. Back off, will you, Margaret?
What is your problem with Dean Wheeler?
My problem with Dean Wheeler was nothing. I had him on to talk about Obama. Next thing I know, he's distracted once again by the wife who's up on the bandstand singing some jazz. The horn player's checking her ass out. Dean's the guy that is making the issue out of this. I'll bet you anything. I got money that says that horn player probably isn't the least bit interested in Dean's wife. And I think he's got psychological problems, if you want my honest opinion.
That is absolutely like a conservative, a neocon, to say that a liberal must have mental problems if he has some affinity for Obama.
No, there's nothing with Obama. The problem that I've got with him is the fact that he's mental about that wife.
Yeah, just talking about it, everything.
Who's talking to you?
I'm talking to him. What did you want to say, bud?
I'm saying that when he seen the horn player... Then he wanted to put a wad of cheese in it, too.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He wanted to put a wad of cheese in what?
In a horn.
And what's that got to do with anything?
If we're talking about a guy that is so distracted...
No, hold on. I'm asking him. You want him in the conversation? Now go ahead, answer, bud.
Well,
just remember what you said. Slow down. Say it. She's going to want to, she wants to see you fail, man. You don't want to fail.
No.
Just slow down. Say it out.
What are you, coaching him?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Well... The wad of cheese.
Yeah.
Just don't pay no attention to her.
The wad of cheese that you want to stick in a horn. And that, to me, shows, like Mr. Henry was saying, that that he's afraid of everything.
Yay! Oh, that was so good.
Margaret, don't mock him, okay? You're scaring him. You're staring him up and down. You put a high heel into his groin last night.
He was... Are you kidding me? He was begging for it. He was asking for it. We got outside after he made some smart-ass comment. What did I say to you, bud?
You said you really want $300 worth.
Exactly. I said, so you really want $300 worth? And he said every penny. And he didn't say it like that. He said it like Scorpio in that movie. He said, every penny, like he'd had his face beat in.
Yeah, well, I just thought you were joking.
Okay, so we've got the history of you beating him half to death last night, okay?
Last night?
I misspoke, okay? And thank you, bud, for laughing at that.
Well, you know, when you tee it up and she hits it out.
In any event, Mr. Wheeler is a progressive. He is celebrating Obama's victory. That's fantastic. But as he got distracted throughout that, with the wife, with the horn player, and then this whole series of comments about, I found a small hair in my mouth. I must have had a good afternoon. What is that?
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, grow up.
Well, what does that mean?
Are you serious?
Dear, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a hint, okay?
Would you...
Sorry.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so that's why I say the guy's mental. So to make a series of comments like that is unbelievable. And to then follow it up with, he continued with this whole thing about the wife. I can't have this guy on my show any longer if he is going to continue to be distracted. I don't mind him there with the wife, but and I don't mind him listening to his own wife. Obviously, that's what he wants to do. Who do we have on the line here?
Rudy Clemenza, Mr. Clemenza.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah, Rudy, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Listen, the comment of the small pubic hair. No. Take a bet. He did not say that. He said a small hair.
Yes, he said a small hair.
He said a small hair in his mouth, but what he was referring to, and I heard Potipin as he tried to put it in the most inelegant way.
Yeah, tried to do what?
You tried to put it in the most inelegant way.
Did it what?
You know, he's trying to... He's doing that, isn't he?
Rudy, yes. This is Margaret Rudy. How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy to speak to you, Margaret. I heard you on the radio, and I let me say to you that as a mother, as a woman... La, 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 la.
Oh, God, thank you. That is a very wonderful compliment. That is... Thank you so, so much.
Boy, I gotta tell you, that's...
It's what?
It's a South American custom, Phil.
That's exactly right. So when Bud said to you that he was trying to explain to this man, the Dean Wheeler, and the Wheeler said he had a small hair in his mouth, he must have... What he was thinking of was the... You see?
Yes, I got that. I understand that. Bud did it.
Yeah. No.
Bud did not do it. Rudy's calling in to give you the proper intonation. Go ahead, Rudy.
Thank you, Margaret.
Oh, well, go ahead, Rudy.
Don't be jealous, Phil.
I'm not jealous. Will you let me conduct the interview here, Margaret?
Look at the big green-eyed monster come out on you.
No, not jealous at all. Go on, Rudy.
Go on what?
Go ahead. Explain the whole...
What I was saying was that Bud said... you know, he sound... Bud, I know that he went through a tree. I know that his brain underwent terrible trauma. I know there's a plate in his head. And you have to understand that when you ask a man with a plate securely attached to his skull, when a man is made up of part bone, part metal, when a man has not only a head, but he has a metal head, his head is made of metal. You cannot ask a man like this to approximate the love and the honor and the cherishment that a man would give to a woman without it sounding as if the emotion and the feeling is being directed through a metal field, you see. So that is, I think, when Bud wants to say, ah, la, 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 it comes out like that, you know.
You know, I got to tell you something, Rudy. I've heard you on our show talking about different ways of making this Argentinian sound. In one instance, you will say, here is what you say to a woman when you really love her. Go ahead. Would you mind?
Would I mind what?
Phil, are you going to have him perform like a trained monkey?
Will you let me talk, please?
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's right. Okay, Rudy?
So what do you want me to do?
Give me the sound when you say to a woman you love her.
That would be... La, 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 la.
Okay. Give me the sound when you want to say to a woman she's a wonderful mother.
I can run through this stuff. You don't have to go through it slow like it's romper room. You know, you want me to run through here? If she's a wonderful mother, it's... La, 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 la. If she is great in bed, it's... Blah. If you simply want to have the sex of the afternoon, you want to take the afternoon for to have the sex, you say... See?
And... Okay, so that sounds exactly like Bud.
How dare you... Did you really say that?
Yeah, it does sound like me.
Did you? No, I'm talking to Mr. Did you really say that?
I'm very outraged.
It sounded like Bud.
So you're saying to me, Rudy Canosa, a man you've known for years, a man you respect, that I am nothing more than some kind of a street urchin, some kind of a softhead, someone who belongs on the first floor of a mental ward?
Why what's the first floor?
They only put the nuts on the first floor because they don't want them to jump from the window, you know.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're saying, though?
No.
Well, that's exactly what it felt like to me when you said, I gave you, this is what you said to a woman if you want to have the sex for one night. You say, now the other.
Why are you constantly hanging up on people, Phil? That really angers me.
You can't hear what a jackass that is. Boo!
That's not how you do it.
Yeah, he done it better.
Oh, did he done it better? Oh, okay. Well, we'll get him back on the line. I'm the only guy tonight, folks, that's got any brains intact. The rest of these people are flipping their lids. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, post-election analysis coming up. We will do a little bit. We've got Larry Grover. We also have Don Berman. We've got a whole lot of people scheduled to appear here as we take a look at the postmortem, the election postmortem, and also this whole stock market thing we've got to talk to you about because it's blown way out of proportion. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Do you want to go and have a flapjack? If you want to say to a woman, you want.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, online here at philhendryshow.com as well. And again, we have a little bit of the election night coverage to conclude with. All kinds of stuff was discussed over the last, let's say, 24 hours. All kinds of things have been discussed over the last 24 hours. Since the election has concluded, why did the Republicans lose? Why did the Democrats win? What was important to different groups of voters? And I, you know, my job as a guy here on the radio, a talk show guy on the radio, is not to be to be right. I don't think that's my job. My job is to just talk about interesting crap if I can and do it in an interesting way.
Well, why do you call it crap?
Because it is crap, for the most part.
Do you mean crap? Talk about America.
I know we're talking about America, but some of the things we talk about, I can't believe that grown adults waste their time on it. I can't believe that grown adults waste their time on some of the stuff that we talk about. And I'll give you an example. You know, what do the Republicans got to do to win an election? This has been the discussion here over the last 24 hours. What is the Republican Party about? What is the Republican Party lacking? What didn't they do right? And when I heard them say the following thing, and I did hear this guy, Bob, whatever the hell this guy is, the governor of Virginia, this guy's a real, I don't like him at all. And this was his simple-minded, well, we got to just, you know, it's our message. He's saying it's the non-answer answer when he says, we got to reach out to people we haven't reached out to before. Well, he's right about that. And we have to do a better job at selling our message. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. If you're selling dog turds, I don't care who you got making the pitch.
Grow up.
Hold on, bud. If you're selling dog turds, I don't care how much better you make the pitch. And
well, can I be the devil's advocate here?
Go ahead.
Are they selling, when the Republicans say they want less government and they want more private sector money and they want more jobs, is that a dog turd?
Well, wait. That's not all, though. Because I heard that guy, Bob McDonald or O'Donnell, whatever the hell that guy in Virginia, he's one of the worst, because this guy is one of the reasons, he doesn't know it, but he's one of the reasons why they lost. This guy cannot get off of the social conservative issues of pro-life and of no gays and all of that stuff that conservatives and Republicans never used to represent. And when I brought up Barry Goldwater being the founding father of modern conservatism, which he is, and to listen to some of these brain-dead imbeciles that call themselves conservatives now disrespecting Barry Goldwater, here was a guy that didn't care whether there were gays in the military. Barry Goldwater couldn't believe that we were even having that discussion. He says, what's that got to do with being a conservative? And when you brought that up to modern conservatives, these pea brains would actually disrespect them like they know better. I haven't talked to one of these idiots, not a one, that's come up with anything more original than what Barry Goldwater originated, which was essentially government off the backs of the little man, more money into their pocket, less money, less government, less government. Now, understand, Barry Goldwater wasn't all squeaky clean when it came to social issue. He wanted to leave up the issue of civil rights to the states. Bad move.
What are you talking about? It's called a state right.
I don't give a damn if it's called state rights. It's the worst thing you can do, leaving human rights to the state level. If they get it wrong, Jack, then where do you go? You got to go to the federal sooner or later. All right, we'll take a break here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're not going to talk about this, are you?
I'm going to. Never mind.
Yeah, Phil, it's Larry Grover. I just called in. Can you give me some idea what you're taking my phone call?
I don't think I will, Larry.
Oh, that's not fair. I've got many.
Phil Hendry.